free? Here.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the Groupies Music Podcast, your favorite music podcast produced by your favorite music people. Ain't that right, boys and girls?
Heck yeah, it is.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah.
Hey, hello.
If you don't know, Groupies is a podcast where we talk about music, and specifically, we have A-side episodes and B-side episodes. A-sides are over the albums that we bring in, so there's four of us, currently three right now on Groupies, and we each bring in an album, talk about it, and the B-side episode usually stems from the A-side. So I think we can get right into it if we don't have anything else. You can follow us on Twitter, by the way, at @groupies_pod. Chat with us. You can see our playlists. You can see what we're listening to, who we follow, all that stuff. But yeah, A-side time.
Heck what do we yeah, got? It is.
Amir, it's your turn, right?
Yeah, it's me. It's me. What's up? I'm in the booth. What's going on?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Let me touch the mic real quick. Yeah. So this week, I decided to bring in Beauty Behind the Madness by The Weeknd. There's so many wires on this table, I don't know which one's mine.
Okay, because I just wanted to make sure that this wasn't yours.
I think that one's me. But so, Beauty Behind the Madness, mm-hmm. Weeknd's second album.
Yeah.
A lot
his
of people...
best album. Really? Sorry yes. about that hot take, but no, it is for me. It is. It's the best album
it
for
is.
Me.
I mean, Trilogy's too long. But if you ever split it up, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It has one of my favorite songs on there. I forgot which one it is.
Trilogy's got some bangers. It's just...
It's the one where it's like when he's like dancing with the devil and whatever. One second. Now I gotta look it up.
There's a lot of good ones on Trilogy.
That's my shit. I love that song. But the Trilogy...
What You Need, that's off Trilogy. That's some good stuff.
Trilogy's
what else is
good.
On Trilogy that I
don't like Wicked Games. That's my shit.
Oh, yes. Wicked Games, I feel like, was the most popular song from Trilogy.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like everybody
Sometimes
loves
I just
Wicked Games.
Belch that song out while I'm driving. I do.
Yeah?
Yep. I yell it.
You just
drive it.
You're thinking about your day. And then
yeah.
Wicked Games.
That's what I'm saying. I feel that one. Yeah. I feel that song in my chest. I don't do coke, but...
If you did.
If I did, I feel
Wicked
like I would have wrote Wicked
Games.
I think that's
what
the Weeknd
you need
for you.
If, it,
I,
and
if
high
I don't do coke, but if I did.
Are all really good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God, a great album.
But I feel like it's a collective piece, Beauty Behind the Madness.
Yeah, but that's like, once again, the Trilogy is a mixtape. Mm-hmm. His first album, which was Kiss Land. Boo. Well, it's not a boo.
Boo.
But it's not... A great
it wasn't
album.
Up to snuff.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Some would say.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. It was just average. Mm-hmm. But then that's when, you know, The Weeknd started getting his bag. He had the Trilogy. I think House of Balloons came out after that. Mm-hmm. So The Weeknd was starting to get in his bag. Then Take Care happened. And then I was like, oh, shit. I remember the first time I heard The Weeknd outside of Wicked Games was when on Crew Love and The Ride. On Take Care. But Crew Love, get your nose off my keyboard. What you following me for? There's a room full of niggas. What you bothering me for? Whoa.
Oh, those are bars.
This ain't no fucking sing-along. So girl, what you singing for?
Bars.
That's solid.
Yo, you're blowing like a C4? Whoa.
How come Amir Bar. Doesn't have a deal yet?
I don't know.
Bar.
Amir B-side.
That was, look.
You got to go by that, though, I think.
You ghostwrite?
Can you please be
I did ghostwrite that. I didn't want to bring it out yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was about me. There's a lot. We all my friends, we got fake IDs in the trash. We going straight to the top, you know?
Yeah.
I wrote that.
Amir B-side coming out.
That was I remember hearing that. I was like, who the hell is that guy? Because he sounds amazing.
So that was the first time you've ever listened to The Weeknd?
Yeah. Was through Take Care.
Okay.
And then The Ride, another him singing that chorus. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell?
And so after that, did you go into like his discography? Or
no,
like
I found Wicked Games and then I kind of like was, I knew of The Weeknd.
Okay.
There was a period when I was looking into him a lot. I found a lot of like, you could hear the inspiration from Michael Jackson in his voice, like especially off like off of Beauty Behind the Madness, with one song in particular that sounds like a song written by Michael Jackson. That was my mom's original issue with The Weeknd, why she wouldn't listen to him.
Because he sounded like her?
Like him? Yeah, she did not like that at first.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a copycat. Yeah,
she didn't like that. That's why she won't listen to Rick Ross, because he sounds like Biggie, because he doesn't, she doesn't like that. She doesn't like that at all. But
only the OGs for Amir's mom.
Yeah. But then that's when this started to come out, this Beauty Behind the Madness. I'm like, often hits. I'm like, what the? Mm-hmm. That's a banger. And it's then a
banger like no other.
The Hills. I'm like, it whoa.
Is quite literally.
Can't feel my face. Banger. Whoa. What is this? What is this guy? Who is this guy? And it just felt like all these songs was hidden. Earned It. I didn't care. I hated Earned It. Like when it came out, listening to the album again, it grew on me. But when 50 Shades of Grey was out.
Yeah. Oh, the thing is that like everywhere. I'm not a huge fan of Earned It, but I think that it fits really well in the collective.
Yeah.
Like when you listen to it in the album, it fits in the album. But if you ask me like favorites on here, like I wouldn't go to that.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of it is the negative association with that movie, to be honest.
Oh, I hated it when it came out.
Yeah.
That's all I kept hearing was Earned It on everything. I was like, man, fuck this song. But then it just like then I took a bit of while, and you know, Weeknd grew into a gigantic superstar after this album.
After this album, yeah.
And then, you know, Starboy and stuff. And he's still a huge artist today. Mm-hmm. But then like 3 weeks ago, probably like 4 weeks ago, I was like, you know what? Let me revisit this album. I went back and listened to it again, and I was like, holy shit. This is a great album.
I can always listen to this album. And it's one of my, like, original... Like, this is, I feel like, the first, like, mainstream R&B album I ever fell in love with. Because I wasn't really an R&B or hip-hop listener until I was much older in life. Like, 17, 18 mm-hmm. is when I started listening to that music. And The Weeknd was one of my gateways into that. And so, like, I have, like, sentimental connections to this album. I was so pumped when you picked it. Because, I feel like I literally know, like, every song off of this album by heart. Because this was, like, this was heavily played my junior and senior year in high school. It's just, it was a mood. And then it helped me, like I said, as a gateway, like, it helped me get into, like, other R&B and, like, harder hip-hop and stuff.
This album dropped August 28th, 2015. I was just getting out of high school, about to go into community college before transferring.
What year did you graduate?
2015.
You old man.
You know, 22, you know? I'm feeling 22. Yeah. He's going to be all right.
You probably graduated then too, didn't you, Grant?
2016.
Okay, so did I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 22. Okay. But 2015, about to go. I started community college. Well, going into my third year of community college, I had been in community college ever since I was a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. Nipsey also got shot.
I just got that notification.
What the fuck?
Who he got better shot? Not
be dead. If Nipsey's dead, I'm gonna be upset. I swear, please don't say y'all took Nipsey.
He's got a live on the podcast. Holy Nipsey Hussle shit. Shot outside his LA store.
We'll keep you updated, because if they tell me Nipsey's dead, I'm going to be really hurt. But anyway.
Dang.
Shit.
So it goes into 2015. I'm just graduating from Anchor Bay.
Amir, good job. Congratulations, yep.
I was third year in community college. I was heavy listening to, I think the albums I was listening to a lot was, you know, Drake and like Big Sean's album.
Okay. Yeah. I vaguely remember this time.
And
yeah.
then this. And then I'm like, this album comes out, and it felt like the Weeknd ran the world for a period when this album was out.
Like, he was on top for sure. This was like, I remember vaguely of hearing about him, especially like I was reading actually an article previous to this, and it was basically documenting how he was making this album and what led him to make it. And you remember the song by Ariana Grande, Love Me Harder, featuring The Weeknd?
Yes, I do.
That was the stepping stone into what would become his pop superstardom, as you and me were talking about
for like, real
beforehand.
Ariana wasn't where she is now, but
that song is still a bop to me. actually.
Yeah.
So that was, I understand.
She was still a star.
Because that was Pulse Away. So she was like, at that point, she was a star.
She was a star, yeah. But she wasn't like running she was the pop industry. Like, no. Yeah.
Because when The Way came out, she had just got her first step. And then that's when Love Me Harder hit, and she was gone at that point.
Mm-hmm. But that cosign kind of brought The Weeknd out of his drug-infused hotel rooms, and I feel like made him make happier music to some degree.
This album isn't happy at all.
Do you possibly I don't think it's as dark though.
More pop oriented.
More pop oriented. That's maybe that I was
feel like
for.
This album falls under the. It sounds upbeat and happy, but in real honesty,
but lyrically,
if you listen to lyrics, this album sounds.
It's either sex or sadness here.
Yes, sex, sadness.
Sadness.
Sex, sadness, drugs.
Yeah, I mean,
cocaine.
You're not wrong. I guess all to right. me, like, there's more major chords than usual.
Yeah.
Which means to me, happy, but maybe lyrically, it's very much.
No, some the of same. Them are. I hear you. There's yeah, love. Like lyrically, I think some of it is him. He's a whiny guy. Like, oh, I'm not very. Trying to judge. Like, I'm Crudy. Whiny too, but he's whiny.
Yeah.
He's whining about things. But there are some, like, singles on here that I feel like are to a dancier beat and more pop oriented than, like, what face, he did in Trilogy and Kissland and stuff.
Yeah.
That's really about cocaine.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from, I think.
Yeah.
But overall, this album, I think. Even for me, like, I think it changed the way I liked music, because I was not into R&B either. I was kind of
always loved R&B.
I would skip. I would usually skip R&B music, and this kind of opens
made weirdly.
Yeah, and it's some of it's just like.
What can you elaborate on that?
What do you mean
by made weirdly?
Made weirdly, as in like some of them are. They're slow, but then sometimes they try to throw hip hop elements into them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird at times, especially with that 90s sound.
Yeah.
And also sometimes
90s R&B was just like, you actually brought this up on a previous episode of Groupies, but it's where a lot of great samples come from.
Yes.
But other than that, to me, it's
and
kind
they get
of been
sped up.
Exactly.
Very fast.
Because it's where I was going was that it's a bit snoozy to me.
Yeah, they were
was that genre at that time.
90s R&B was very slow and sad.
Yeah.
Well, not either really sad or like you're in a love.
Like, let's have sex.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Or yes. Like, it's either your boyfriend is cheating on you and he's beating you, or he's a good guy and you're in love with him, or you're crushing. In a shitty relationship and you're like, man, look at him over there. Yeah. I wish I was with him.
Yeah.
Or I wish I was with her. You don't have to call, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a lot of good stuff going on. But you have to be, I feel like it's very important for, you know, people like me, you know, people who come from my background, that sound, because it influences the current sound so much.
Yeah, I like totally agree. I totally agree. I think a lot of influence does come from those R&B
that's why
artists,
led me
whether
to,
it's R&B coming at the other end or not.
That's why it led me to tweet out, I should have been more specific, but I did a poll about, do white people like R&B?
Really?
I like R&B.
I should have been specific and said 90s R&B. I wasn't specific because current R&B is it's at a weird place.
Then I couldn't honestly say yeah, because there are some 90s R&B that, yes, I genuinely enjoy, but those are like the few that I pick out and enjoy.
90s
not.
R&B like Destiny's Child?
No.
TLC?
TLC can count at times. I look at it as like Mary J. Blige's.
I can bump some TLC.
Yeah, I talk about Mary J. Blige's like I'm going down, like, you know, just that's like, and even Mary J. Blige has like, is more like faster. Okay. SWV, shit like that is what I look at as 90s R&B. Gotcha.
And you think like this album in particular is pretty influenced by that? Or is that just, we're more looking at like the roots of R&B as a whole?
There is influences there.
Okay.
But a lot of like especially R&B too nowadays samples like super old stuff though. Like 70s and 80s R&B like shit later that is like you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Yeah. How do you find that going through?
Yeah.
Like Kanye, one of the samples on Tell Your Friends, you're like, where did he find that at in the tray? But to even go into it like
in the time capsule.
This had two number one song, two number singles, which was The Hills and Can't Feel My Face. And it was the 10th best selling album of 2015 with 1.5 million copies sold.
Damn.
Worldwide.
This album was amazing.
Yeah, it had a 74.
This was one of those albums where you're kind of like, what are you going to do afterwards, man? Because this was shit for everyone. Yeah, but it took him a while to put out Starboy, in my opinion.
Well, because he wasn't sad.
And also because it's hard to top albums like that. Like, I feel like he got really good critical ratings and that everyone really liked Beauty Behind the Madness. 74 on Metacritic. Yeah. And, I don't know. It was just one of those albums for me where it was quality all the way through, and I always am anxious to see like how an artist follows that up. And then it was Starboy, which different people have different opinions on. Half a Starboy I can jam if I'm in a mood, but I think a lot of it that was hard for me was because this album is such a different sound than Starboy was. And so I wanted something that was more reminiscent of Beauty Behind the Madness, and then it was very different from that. So I think that was my struggle there.
Gotcha. The Weeknd said in an interview with John Kermanic for the pop music critic.
Harmonica.
Harmonica.
Nope.
John Harmonica.
By the way, if you're looking for a music podcast, Popcast is really good.
Well, in an interview with John Harmonica in New York Times Magazine, he said that it's about... This album was about him. He said this album was about him being who he was and him stepping out of his comfort zone to try something new. And that besides his past albums, he felt like he never talked about the ups. And he said this is the first album where he talked about the ups and downs. He said he usually just talked about the downs.
Yeah.
Which is really true. And those
Me too, albums, The Weeknd.
He like was really like a lot of them were down. At least in this album, like especially in like Tell Your Friends. There was a lot of ups in that one.
Yeah.
That was just him talking shit, like this is me.
Yeah.
But then like he also said that in Rolling Stone, he said that he was working on this album in a world he wasn't used to. He was like, you're sober, then one day you wanna have fun, and that darkness comes back, and the darkness feels good. It's crazy. People relate to that stuff. So that leads into the very first track.
That's a really good point, though. Like, people do relate to that, even if you're not, you know, dropping coke lines and being in a sex-fueled, like, romps for 6 hours at a time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No matter if you're doing that. People can relate to that because I feel like... well, he's such a sad boy.
Yeah.
And the thing is that people who live in their sadness, like that line that Amir just quoted where he was like, I'd be having a good time and the sadness would come back and then the sadness would feel good. It's like a comfort zone thing.
Yeah.
Especially for artists, because artists get used to creating in a certain state.
Right.
And if that state is sadness and you're having a good time, then like, hell yeah, you're having a good time. But then, oh, how do I create? Right. So which, then when that comes back, you just... put out,
which I was gonna save till later, but me and Grant were literally talking about, there's a quote from The Weeknd and his manager where his manager said that wasn't like, fuck, this kid is happy again.
No, it was like,
I had the still have the quote.
It was basically like, if this kid ever gets happy, we're done, or something like that, where it's basically like what we've joked about actually being the truth, where like when he's happy he makes worse music. Which is crazy, but like that's the truth.
It's so relatable to so many artists.
The quote is, for an artist who thrived on emotional detachment, love poses a threat. Probably my and my manager's biggest fear is if this kid falls in love, we're done. We're finished.
Yeah.
That's what The Weeknd said in December.
That's nuts. Yeah,
but the thing about falling in love is that then if that ends, then you get EPs like My Dear Melancholy.
But you don't want... Like, it almost feels like all your music, you're doomed to...
The time in between is Starboy. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that there was Starboy, and then he wasn't happy anymore, and then there was My Dear Melancholy.
It just feels like your relationship is... Every relationship you get in is doomed.
Yeah. I mean... Because but not until it ends.
You need music, you know?
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
I mean, at the end of the day, he doesn't have to make any more music for the rest of his life.
But
he's well off.
When you become an artist, you feel like you have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But so he starts the album with Real Life, where he says like, this one was about the advice that his mother gave him about how his whole, like, the way he was living was going to destroy him. Like, it was going
to
destroy
himself. Such a boss way to start off this album. Real life literally is just him being like, this is the way it actually is. This is how I actually am. Sorry, not sorry about
it. And, like, totally different. You're starting off with these hard-ass guitar riffs. Bring in, like, orchestral dings here and there. It's very interesting compositionally.
Yeah,
it's
real, like, life has got some interesting instrumental complexity to it.
And I guess I'm not the biggest, like, I don't listen to his entire discography, but, like, does he do a lot of orchestral things in Trilogy as well? Like, is he pretty onto that?
I feel
and using,
like,
violins and, like, that
I
side.
I would say that it's in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in there. Okay. It's not.
I don't think.
The only album I think is not in there, not to cut you off, is Starboy. Is the only one. Because that was really, you know, a lot of synths and shit like that.
Because the song that made it comes to mind off this album is, like, Earned It. That's an heavily, like...
Yes. Orchestra.
Orchestra first, yeah.
Even Tell Your Friends, to me, is a... Even though it's a sample, it just feels like a orchestral...
And that's something that he does so well, like, blending his voice. It almost feels like he himself is... a violin in a way, if that makes sense.
Okay, keep going, elaborate.
Where you know how he sings, where he'll do his little ditty and then go and like kind of
he'll say like something and then in the middle he just makes a very like
and his falsetto
wavering falsetto. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his voice is very much
it's very much an instrument in itself, and I think that's one of his biggest selling points and that's something that shines through the most on this album.
Yeah.
an incredible voice.
He does. Like I said, people compare his voice a lot to Michael Jackson's voice. And I'm talking like Michael Jackson around like the Beat It phase.
Yeah.
And like that, like his first album. And there are some similarities in it, especially like I said.
You know what's funny is I was reading something about The Weeknd one time where he literally brings on... it's the one Michael Jackson song. Oh, I can't remember it. But he brings it on each time before he performs.
Which one?
I'm going to find it real fast. But for the life of me, I can't remember. But regardless, I think it's one of his biggest influences. I think it's pretty easy to see.
For sure. Like I said, when we get to it, that's basically, to me, a Michael Jackson song.
Oh, absolutely.
It feels like. But then that leads into Losers, which is about him and his friend.
Off the Wall.
Huh?
Off the Wall.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing song. Mm-hmm. But that leads to him Losers.
I love Losers because I love a good song that's like, hey, you guys doing everything the man told you to do. F you. Look where I am.
I really like this too. Yeah.
It's about him and his friend dropping out of school and deciding
how school is overrated.
To go through music.
Yep. Yeah. And Labyrinth is meant to voice Lamar, his friend, who he went on to now manage... mm-hmm. I think EXO as a label. But yeah, I mean, it worked out a lot.
And it like fits with real life. I feel like they're almost saying versions of the same thing.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, this is how I am. I did it my own way. And F you.
Together in the music video too, which is ironic though.
What's that?
They're not paired together in the music video.
Oh, Labyrinth and The Weeknd?
No, Losers in...
Oh, okay.
The first song.
Gotcha.
Real Life. It's Tell Your Friends, and then that spins it to Real Life, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
But
my favorite thing about Losers is the last 40 seconds or so, when it breaks out into that trumpet piece. Yeah.
You and your horns.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the horns, man. And it's just so, like, pleasant. I would love to just sit there on a loop and listen to it.
So pleasant.
I feel like with this song, because like the story of The Weeknd, if people don't know, is he drops out of school, but he kind of talked his friend into also dropping out because his friend was like, dude, I don't know about this, man. Like, I don't think we should. His friend would basically be me, because I'd be like, look, man, this, I don't know about this artist shit you doing.
This is what, this is my route is safer and what I was told to do.
Are you even, you believe in yourself? Like, it took me a while to get out of that. And, like, clearly now I'm out of that phase because I've basically become The Weeknd at points when I was like, yeah, fuck this. I'm leaving. I'm going to do my own thing.
Channeled him.
Yeah?
Yeah. But that leads into what I think to me is my favorite song and album, which is Tell Your Friends.
This is like Kanye's influences shine pretty spot. Yeah.
Ironically, this
here.
Is a Kanye West beat.
Yeah.
This is supposed to go on Kanye's album he never dropped.
Yep.
Good Kanye.
It's
ear,
especially
Grant.
Right around. Well, we always mention Kanye. Yeah. Every episode. Yeah, we're the Kanye podcast.
Exactly.
Down
so here,
at the very
here
root
it was.
Yep.
I think around 240 is when you have this classic Kanye sound where he takes a vocoder or something, but then like brings it down to where you're only hearing these little bits and pieces, like EQs the hell out of it to bring it down to only like a certain hertz. And then it's hard to describe, but it just sounds like someone's talking, but into
I thought that was like a guitar.
Yeah.
But then when I seen that it was Kanye, I was like, okay.
And he does this a lot on like Yeezus and then on
it was supposed to be in his 2014 album, which called Me God.
Yeah,
so that was around the time Yeezus was, you know.
Oh, okay.
So then he decided not to do that, and then he gave it to The Weeknd, which I could listen to this beat on replay with just nothing on it.
It's beautiful.
For hours. Ironically enough, the first time I heard this song another way, because Drake also took this song and remixed it for OVO Sound Radio.
Okay.
But he changed it and he made the song called Evolving.
Okay.
And this beat was like, I'm like, fuck this beat.
It's good.
Because I had forgot, to be honest, I forgot about this song. So this is why I started listening to this album again.
Okay.
Because I was listening to Evolving. I was like, this is a good ass song. Because I had sent Hannah a list of unreleased songs that Drake never like put out.
It was a good list.
And then I was like listening to it and I'm like, man, I swear I've heard this beat before. I'm not for sure where it's from, though. And then I found Tell Your Friends. I'm like, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
And Tell Your Friends is so good.
This feels like you're in here's two scenarios you have here. For me, one is like you're sitting in the studio with him. I very much envision myself just like sitting there nodding my head while he's in the booth, just letting this all out. You have all the instruments.
Vibing.
And like, session musicians in there just vibing out.
Heck yeah.
Secondly, I feel like this is at just some hole in the wall like hotel room lobby where he's just playing this music to five people.
I envision when I hear this song, I think I'm one of the people where he's like, well, he's talking about they're having a house party, and then like he's like, we got hoses here, the girls are on us, everyone's fucking. I just picture it like I'm just at the party in the corner, like I don't know what's going on.
And he's like explaining to you where everything is.
But he's sitting, he's over here, he's like, look, I'm trying to tell you, man. If you want some blow, we got some. There's women over there, dude. And I'm sitting there over here like, Abel, man. Like,
you're sitting there with your drink, you're just
I'm like, am I supposed to
drink
this? In the
pocket, just like.
I'm kind of like, is this drugs? I want to know so I can know if this night is going to go right.
If it's his party, then yeah, maybe. Probably.
But just like there's something on this song where I'm like, there's no way you had this happen. Like,
you think some of the stuff he says doesn't happen?
Okay, PG, this is rated R. I almost want to say, Hannah, cover your ears.
Oh my God.
There's no way he came four times in one night. That's
don't underestimate the power of drugs, my man.
Hey, man, his stamina has to be. He's drunk.
What drugs do that?
Yeah, that's tough, man.
When you have uppers and downers, shit gets weird. I mean, I would not know, but I would assume.
But and also, my favorite bar.
We gotta
song,
get someone who knows and ask.
Yes, we need to have a porn star in here.
Who
to tell
has
me, is that possible?
No, I'm saying like someone who's on uppers and downers, and be like, is this how this affects? Let's
Abel,
okay, yeah,
you
yeah, we'll just get
come
in touch.
On.
Yeah,
please let us know.
Him
add us on Twitter.
I love the line. I'm never wearing white. I'm like a racist.
You've mentioned that before.
I love
think
you've
that.
Actually yeah. quoted that line.
I'm never wearing
time.
White now. Like I
what's
haven't
the
worn
line?
White.
Isn't there a line next to that that's about camo?
That is the. It's the.
I
think it is right there.
I feel like The Weeknd helped that thing where camo slowly became an urban fashion choice and not just a country fashion choice. You'll see super like urban or hip hop people wearing camo, and that used to never be a thing.
Honestly,
but
like,
The Weeknd's raps all the time about how he's rocking camo.
I see him as a pretty hard like too. Fashion icon too.
Yeah,
honestly,
that was okay.
I think he brought Master P back out too.
Master P was wearing hella camo too.
Was he?
But I will say, at the same time, the thing that I find what I like the most about The Weeknd is, like, some of his lyrics, it's almost like he's saying, like you know how Drake is almost saying, like, I could have shaped you. Like, you could have been
so
much
better. I don't think
The
Weeknd says that so directly. Actually, I feel like The Weeknd shit talks himself all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like he flat out will be like, I'm a lost cause. Like, and I'm on drugs.
When it comes to The Weeknd, it almost felt like she's like, look, if you want to be with me, you can. Yeah. I'm going to let you know now.
But I'm going
to
let you know.
Here's a list.
I'm on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't think you should. But then also, let me tell you about your friends real quick. Like, the bar where he says, and everybody around you is so basic. I was like, that is true. I know some girls who have some basic ass friends.
I mean, dude, like, the next song, Often, he's talking about how often he does this.
That's
shit.
That's what
how,
I'm saying.
Like, you shouldn't be with him because he's probably going to go do it again, you know?
Yep.
I don't drink my liquor with a chase in it. That money is the only thing I'm chasing.
Ooh. Yeah.
I wrote that.
Yeah.
But just him, like, I just love everything. And just him saying, I'm that nigga with the hair sing about popping pills.
Oh, yeah. Can we throw back to bitches? The fact that he used fucking, to put that living life those so lyrics true. In because his hair used to be so fucking wild.
Oh, yeah. He's an icon.
He missed had that hair. Wild hair.
I missed that hair.
Talk about statement hairstyles.
He just let it do what it does.
I've missed that hair so much.
And you can kind of see it a little bit.
On the album cover.
Oh, that hair was so cool.
He had this very... He had a do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was iconic, honestly. Yeah. That's what I thought of when I saw The Weeknd. Or like, I think...
But now
often
it's,
the music
it hasn't
video,
been like that for so long.
Yeah, it's
now
just
it's
him
just,
like sitting there doing this song and he's got this big ass on that
it's
hair.
The next verse, by the way. It's the... don't believe the rumors, bitch. I'm still a user. I'm still rocking camo, and I still roll with shooters.
That's what it was.
I'm a villain in my
city.
I just made another killing. I'm going to spend it all on bitches.
Think about that. And then he made an entire EP later about how he wants to make sure everyone knows he's still a user. He just really wants people to know that he is back on his bullshit 24/7. He's like, I'm still rocking camo.
I just love this song. Him and Lamari Sarab niggas for his Jordans and flip it just so these hoes can get another fix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was helping them to get coke. He didn't even want the coke. He was like, I'm going to rob you. Give me your Jordans. And then you can get some more coke for these girls over here. He's so charitable.
Oh my gosh.
So nice.
So charitable.
Yeah, honestly, what a gentleman.
He's so charitable. But
lady.
When somebody robs somebody else so you can have some coke.
But
date goals.
He released this. He performed this on like stage in Las Vegas. Like the first time he ever debuted this song was live. He did this live on stage for the first time, and then that's when it just ended up going into like where he is now.
Yeah. Sorry, we're dealing some stuff out in the studio. Right, Hannah decided to stand up and go charge her phone somewhere else. And now it's a whole spectacle for the world to see.
But it didn't need to be a spectacle because I was very quiet about it. And you guys were the people that made a scene. I just wanted to do it.
Amir did give you quite a look.
Yeah, Amir gave me a look, and then I knew you didn't want me to do it. Sorry, guys, but my phone is about to die.
But the outlet,
you know who else is about to die? The Weeknd.
He could be.
Especially.
He's got all those red pills to deal with his blues.
Lil Pump said he might be about to. But anyway, on to Often, which was also my next favorite song. This is another song when I'm driving, I just sing it and I croon. This was also released at the same time that he did the Or Nah remix.
Oh,
I don't know if you remember that nasty ass remix he did on Or Nah.
Yeah.
Those lyrics on that song is disgusting.
That was like...
Oh my, now I know what you're talking about. I know what song you're talking about.
That was it.
And how that was on the radio was crazy.
Yeah.
Because I listened to that. I was listening to that song. I was like, you're a nasty son of a bitch.
I'm surprised. Well, yeah. And
but
you know
that's one thing. But that on pop radio is another thing. Yes. So that's like what?
The B-side this week is also going to be about The Weeknd, a little preview. But I want to talk on the B-side as well, kind of how the radio shifted so that they could allow The Weeknd more airtime. Because The Hills often... and Earned It all made it onto the radio.
Yes.
And they're all super sexual. Yes. And Can't Feel My Face is like a metaphor for cocaine. It's just crazy how much like the radio shifted. But we'll talk about that. A little preview. Back to Octon, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't... You know...
It's straightforward.
Just even the opening, I usually love sleeping all alone. This time, bring your friends with you. Woo.
How much sex do you think Abel has
had? That's what I'm saying. Because I walked away from this album thinking, how much does he have sex?
Yeah.
Because it's like a genuine question.
Not like as like a status thing, but like...
And but as like ever, you seem
like a sex
have.
Addict.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have sex while? Do you ever have sex sober?
Yeah.
Because even this one.
Oh yeah.
My God, why
that's
any
a deep
in my
question for
you
this
give me
man.
Redder than the devil till I go nauseous. Like, coke. Nuts. But still, that's a lot. That pussy kill be so vicious. God, like that's literally.
It's iconic.
I feel like he's definitely probably not sober most of the time.
That's literally what I walked away with. I was like, how has he ever... There's so many problems that I feel like...
Because people...
This album almost sounds like a cry for help at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, not even
That's
almost.
That's a really good way to put it.
Not even almost.
Like, he's very much does. On his knees, like, kind of just shouting out, like, what's happening. And it is, much, to go it to is rehab. Kind of a cry for help.
Yeah, he needs to go to rehab, if anything.
I'm very surprised he's come out... One as thing, unscathed as we see it, at least.
Yeah.
That I feel
you know
like
what I mean? Unless this all like is illegitimate, but I don't think we'd have reason to think it's illegitimate.
I feel like it isn't paid enough attention to lyrically that like people with mental health issues will like often like misuse drugs to deal with them. And mm-hmm. we will pay attention to that and pinpoint that and be like, this is like... This is unhealthy coping mechanism behavior. But when specifically a male artist will talk about having sex as much as The Weeknd, where it becomes like their brand and you know they have mental health issues and they're probably misusing it, then it's like it's the same sort of like unhealthy addiction, unhealthy coping mechanism. But because of the hip hop and art, like because of pop industry, not even hip hop, but pop industry, like a guy singing about having sex, you're not going to look at it the way that you are if he's singing about doing drugs. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like the same. It's the same. But instead, it's looked at as like, oh yeah, like this dude's so cool. Like he has, yeah, he has so many like girls that he's sleeping with. But really, The Weeknd is so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a sad life. Like literally, him just like, I'm coming back to town, picking up just a girl.
And that's why that quote is so sad that we talked about, where we're done if he's like happy, because the dude is like in the depths, the deepest depths of like what you can do to your mental health.
Yep.
And
do you know how many memes I saw on the internet when he was with Selena Gomez about him being happy?
Yeah.
Like I saw so many text posts that were like, oh shit, the weekend's happy.
And, like, it's funny at first.
Gotta put up with some shit music now.
Yeah,
and I was like, damn, it's sad, but it's true. But it's sad, but it's true.
But then when people are like, oh, when they break up, you know we're gonna get a good one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we got My Dear Melancholy, which was ironically a good one.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good one. I feel like most people didn't. He is obsessed with Bella.
Yeah.
So he is like, wait, it. Like, I mean, hey, I don't know the guy, but I feel like because of what he's written in his discography and his relationship history, that like that's the person he wanted to be with all along anyway. So I feel like he's really happy at the moment.
And even right now, it's a for now.
Like, it is. You're not wrong.
Because you don't know. Like, when it's almost, people are starting about to look at him and be like, it's about that time to put out more music.
Yeah.
And then,
well, yeah, he did. He collaborated quite a bit on Black Panther. But again, like we've said this for Kendrick and the others, like it doesn't necessarily count totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's like, that's why he's such, a lot of R&B artists, especially in the 90s, they attribute, not even the 90s, like all of R&B, they are attributed like their personal lives into their music so much that they almost have to be like depressed.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. I just remembered he did put out a new song recently with Gus Eiffelstein.
Yep.
Have you heard that?
Are you talking about, what's the title of it? Because I feel like I know.
He did put out a new one. He took some shots like at Drake.
Something to the Fire.
Yep.
Let me find it.
That was the one where
Lost in the Fire.
He took a few shots at Drake in that one.
Yeah, he did. It's really, really solid.
Because they
fell
out.
Lost in the Fire is solid.
It's a Weeknd beat.
Yeah.
But regardless, he and has taken a bit. And it's also
partially about threesomes because Bregan's got to stay on his brand.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You got to. But like even then, those are two artists too, because I feel like even with Drake too, after Take Care, everyone's always like, ah, when are we going to get that Take Care too? When are you going to break up with someone and be depressed again? Mm-hmm. When are you going to... But I even think that's why Take Care is so weird, because then you can also feel, since you can, that's why it's a heavy Weeknd influence on that album, because you can always also feel the depression of the Weeknd through so many of those songs. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
The both of them being sad made that album great.
Right.
And it's sad that it's like that, but like I wouldn't have like songs like Jaded if Drake didn't wasn't depressed. Yeah,
but they're in their feelings, right? Like they're in their emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah.
I know that's a Drake song.
Yeah. But it's really,
it's the truth. Like their emotions are raw and deep.
Is Jaded really one of your favorite Drake songs?
It is.
Here's the thing. If I didn't care anything about how fucking egotistical
that song is
and narcissistic he sounds.
That song is really egotistical and narcissistic.
Well, same. What I meant to say instead of narcissistic was a word that I'm not thinking of in my mind right now.
It still is. You played me.
Offensive to women. What is the word that I'm... Anyway.
Offensive to women?
It is.
I wanted to like that song because his voice in the song... Misogynistic. Because, yeah, we talked about this on a previous episode. I'm sorry that I brought it up. But it's so hard for me because I want to like Jaded and then I listen to it and it's literally him being like, how dare you leave me? I could have shaped you. I could have built you up. Like, she could do that on her own, Drake. Okay, I'm over. I'm done now.
You're young.
I'm just saying.
Do you want to talk about The Hills?
The Hills.
At least The Weeknd isn't as bad about it as
Drake.
That's
my favorite Weeknd song right here.
Really?
The Hills.
I do love The Hills,
all of them?
Do you want to know something funny about this song?
What?
For me? it was Senior Homecoming, right?
Yeah.
This was like my daily song.
Okay.
Which is weird because it's a pretty fucked up song. But
it is very fucked up.
But it's also a bop.
But it was Senior Homecoming. And I wanted this song played so bad, so badly, just because I was like, this is my daily jam, it's my earworm. And I went up to the DJ and I told him to play it. And it took about 45 minutes. And then it came on and I went wild.
Wow. Yeah.
Just imagine 18-year-old Grant, skinny as heck, lanky white boy, just jumping to The Hills by The Weeknd. Like,
oh my god,
that's my story with this song. But yeah, I still
hey, the fact that your high school prom or your snow coming DJ or whatever even agreed to play that is like good for you. Well, because our DJs were only allowed to play lame stuff.
It was on the charts, but yes,
yeah, I'm not saying because it wasn't popular. I'm saying because our DJs could only play super lame stuff as far as what was and wasn't appropriate content.
Cupid Shuffle's not lame.
I hated going to dances because I can't dance to music that sucks, and our music always sucked.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, like he said, he only calls you when it's 5:30.
Yeah.
Telling a girl that is fucking vicious. I only call you when it's 5:30. The only time I'll be by your side. I only love it when you touch me, not feel me.
I think one of the hardest beats I've ever heard is yes. when it drop it, the girl screams and then it pops into the 808.
Touching me, not feeling me is The Weeknd's fucking aesthetic for his first whole half
when
of
I'm
his
career.
When I'm
fucked up, that's the real me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't even feel
he
that
knows
way. But
he's
I'm just
so
like,
self-aware about yeah. his own yes. problem.
Yeah. I only call you he's when it's past 5:30. The only time that I'll call you mine is at that time. Outside of that, you're the world's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at 5 a.m.? Papa Weeknd's.
Damn, Abel. Papa. Damn,
that Abel. It hurts. Like to me, that would hurt.
It's blunt. Me. Well, I mean, yeah, but I guess at least he's being honest? Question mark about what's going
honest,
on.
Honest. Yeah, yeah. That's a big thing with The Weeknd. I feel like
he's very self-aware about his own problem. He's yeah. literally just like
he's very honest. It seems maybe a little
Belly wrote
hyperbolic.
On this?
Huh?
Belly, one of his artists,
really
wrote on this.
Huh. I have a story about the lyrics and how he wrote them.
Really?
He collabed with Max Martin. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
He's like the guy that crafted like Jessica Simpson and Britney Spears and 2000s pop as a whole. Yeah. And he came to the studio to work with him because he met with him after Love Me Harder happened, and they had pre-written like 6 or 7 songs for him.
Yeah.
he threw them all in the trash and just started from scratch again. There was a story. Yeah, I know. What an insult to like pre-write songs for him when without even like a second thought or anything.
Man, pre-write for me.
Yeah.
Fuck
and
you.
He was saying like,
is there drugs in it?
The Weeknd was saying like, they were all like short little bops too. Yep. And he's like, fuck the rules. I hate writing 2 second songs. Like literally. I write ballads and epics. And he was like 5 minute songs, 8 minute songs. That's what I do. You know, stuff like that. It was just a cool story because I think it shines a light into who he is. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't want to be the pop star that he eventually became. It's really bizarre.
Literally. Yeah. He almost just wanted the money aspect and was like, because even now, Weeknd isn't someone that you like, he's not like a Drake that is always there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't really there's moments when Weeknd disappears and you don't even know where he is.
Yeah.
I mean,
he don't even know where he is.
Yeah.
Very aimless. Yeah. I don't think he knows what he's doing to some degree. Obviously, he has XO.
He bases a lot of his life around his relationships.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, where is the Weeknd right now? Bella. Mm-hmm. That's where he is.
Yeah.
Well, he might. Okay. Because Nav just dropped
and
music.
And
pushing
Nav. And that's
Nav just came out with Tap. That's a fucking banger song. Okay.
I saw a take on Twitter that was like, Nav has done nothing in his career.
Nav.
And I was like, yeah, he's pretty run of the mill.
Literally.
But that's a good song. There's one more off his new album that's pretty solid.
Someone said that Anthony Fantano, when he was reviewing him, it was brutal.
Yeah.
He said he gives no emotion in his voice.
I heard about that.
He's just emotionless.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, what does he do? Like, what is there? What is it? There's nothing with Nav.
Yeah.
It felt bad.
What's the point? Regardless, Hills, great song.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, personally.
On the radio so much.
And then
so
you said
often.
These four were the core. So the next one is Acquainted.
I thought, to me, Acquainted is my least favorite one on the album. It's up there for me.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, not bad.
What don't you like about it?
I don't even like how it sounds.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just something about Acquainted.
It's dancier, isn't it? Isn't that one of the higher BPM ones? No? Yeah.
It's pretty R&B, man.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It's just something about this song that I'm just like not.
You got me touching on your body.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of the, I guess maybe dancier was the wrong word, but this is one of the feel-good ones, I feel. He's like, hey, we're not anything really at all, but happy we're acquainted. Doing all of this physical stuff.
It's a very sex song.
Well, I mean, hey, which one isn't?
Yeah. Good point, Hannah. Good point.
It's just even the kind of robot-y sound of Acquainted. I don't know. I just feel like it would have fit better on Starboy a little bit.
Really?
Not like it kind of has a. It doesn't have the all the way sound of Starboy, like where it's just like. Yeah, let's throw some Simps in there.
Maybe that's why I don't like it as much.
But it just doesn't, I don't know. It leads into Can't Feel My Face pretty well. Because it's more of an upbeat song, and then Can't Feel My Face is just all the way.
After you talked about Michael Jackson, this is very...
Literally, this is a Michael
Jackson
song.
Very reminiscent of Michael Jackson.
That's why my mom didn't like it.
Like, right before the chorus, too, he has the woo. He has the Michael Jackson woo.
Yeah, if you watch the music video, he dances like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And his hair catches on fire like Michael Jackson's caught on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a very Michael Jackson-influenced song. Like, this, to me, sounded like it was written for Michael Jackson, and then Michael Jackson died, and he was like, fuck.
Think so?
Guess I'll never get to give this to Mike.
Next up, Abel.
I'll put it on my album then. Like, it just, I can't picture Michael Jackson singing this, but.
This was a song of the summer.
It was.
By far.
It was.
For me, at least.
No, it for everyone. Like, this was the sound of the summer.
Which is crazy by Max considering, Martin, too. Like, it was that double entendre of, like, cocaine and then also, like, I'm in love. I can't feel my face. Heartbeats.
Yeah.
Butterflies.
When I'm in love, I just can't feel my face.
I think this is one of the happiest songs I've ever heard him on as well.
He's always out here personifying drugs and talking about how much he loves her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next song is Shameless, which is just not the same type of song whatsoever.
It was leaked too.
Which one?
This song.
Oh, okay.
Can't Feel My Face. It was leaked with In the Night and Acquainted.
That's nuts.
But yeah, a lot of people say it's like sounding like a Michael Jackson song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first collaboration between him and Max Martin.
Okay. Yeah. I can see the influence.
Yeah. This is...
Did good on the radio.
Yeah, and it's like... It's very... Sound the samey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he repeats a lot of the words in this one. This is like the one where I'm like, he really dumbed down himself.
Yeah. There's like five chorus lines. Or literally. Like spots where he drops the chorus.
Yes. He literally says, and I know it should, and I know it'd be the death of me. Like, he says that shit all over again. Like, it's repeated over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one is so catchy.
At least we'll both be numb. Like, yep. Damn, okay, weekend.
Yeah, drugs, man.
Drugs.
Yeah, coke is, it helps. You know? And then that leads into Shameless.
The face Grant's making.
What a nice quote.
It's like,
coke, it helps.
It does.
Yeah,
helps
no.
Helps you write good music.
Like, no, we don't, no. We're trying not to.
Was Shameless also on, was that also a single on?
No.
No, it was okay. Not.
I thought it was a single for that fucking like movie too.
This was posted by The Weeknd, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Wait, is that him? This.
No, it's Michael not. And with a bunch of women? People. I don't know.
Women and men?
No, maybe. Those are just women.
I think it's just
women. Let me see that one more time. Ah, that one in the corner. Kind of got me.
That's a girl. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know her, but I'm pretty sure
maybe,
she's a girl.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe. Anyway,
maybe
moving on.
Maybe it's your friend. This is a good one, too. Shameless isn't bad.
Shit, they come out of his mouth. I don't even know.
I know.
Shameless isn't bad either. Like, I'm not... It's just Shameless is so tied to, like, Earned It to me almost. I don't know. I don't know why I, like, have those two together. Maybe it's because of the TV show Shameless. It just feels like this would be it.
No, I mean, Shameless gives off the same vibe, I feel, that Earned It did, except for that I enjoy Shameless more than Earned It.
Shit.
Yeah, no, it's not one of the big ones on the album, but, like, I think it fits the mood
I almost
really
talk
well.
About Earned It now.
I'm not saying Earned It is bad. Like I said earlier, I think, like, I'm, like, have a negative bias towards it because, like, it's hard for me to think about it outside of the movie just because it was advertised with the movie so much.
Never seen the movie.
Well, neither have I, but, like, they advertised it with every
hardcore.
Single freaking advertisement
Beyonce
for that.
Beyonce remix to Earned It?
No, I didn't know that.
There's a Beyonce remix, I'm pretty sure.
Dang. I could see it.
Because, like I said, I could not stand that song when it was, like, running shit. I can't remember if there is or not. I have to look into that. But I could have swore there was a Beyonce one.
Okay.
But I guess we can just jump into Earned It. To me, Earned It was like... Earned It... It was a rough time when Earned It came out because of that damn movie. That movie...
50 Shades of Grey. Yeah, you didn't like that movie?
Not at all.
I mean, hey, if The Weeknd's gonna be on a movie, though... Might as well be a fucking sex movie.
That is true.
Because he's The Weeknd. So I guess, have at it, man.
If you
want
to sign this contract, it means you submit to me, Amir.
That is exactly why I've never seen that movie.
You never seen it?
No.
Yeah, good.
Amir just put his head down on the table.
I mean,
you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Megan dragged you out to see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I feel like
I haven't seen the last one.
How'd you feel?
I feel like it would have been cringy because did you know, fun fact.
The first one, honestly, like, there's some sort of plot there. Like, it's decently interesting, yeah.
Did they show the popsicle scene in that?
Yeah.
Really?
You want to know something that's going to make you...
I kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
To take it even less seriously. 50 Shades of Grey was originally an internet fan fiction.
Yes.
And on top of that, yes, it was a Twilight fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't think of the movie and not think about the fact that all those people were supposed to be Twilight characters originally, and that makes it even worse. What are you?
They die.
Nipsey might have, I think Nipsey died.
Really?
No, dog. No way. He died. Oh, shit. Oh,
shit. Amir is having a moment. Wow, and he literally just, oh, we just got the notification that he got shot like in less than an hour ago.
They killed Nipsey?
Who's
That's
they?
That's insane.
Who killed Nipsey, Amir? Do you know?
He just got a Grammy album.
Did he
you
have,
seem to
like,
know
Grammys?
A lot about this Grammys? Man, got, and
nah,
so I'm asking.
Everybody loved Nipsey. He was like the Snoop Dogg of today.
Damn.
Wow.
Want to finish the episode?
Yeah. Shit.
Anyway. This is going to be a hard topic to move past, but we're going to try.
Yeah, fuck.
Man. Tom liked that album, too. Damn. I'll talk to Tom after. Shit.
Earned it.
Fuck, yeah, earned it. Back to Earned It. Earned It is a song ruined by that movie.
Yeah.
That movie was...
I don't know if I'd say ruined, but there's definitely negative connotations there for me.
It ruined it for me. I can't...
It added an appearance in the movie.
Anyway. Yeah, it ruined it for me. Yeah. I can't even listen to that song anymore. I skipped it.
That's fair.
Yeah. But at least
I can listen to it for a minute, and then I'm like, I just can't.
Mm-mm. That leads into End of Night that I forgot about. That was on this album. In the Night's a fucking banger.
Yes, it is.
Also, Michael
Jackson. Is this what I think it is? Let me look at your phone real quick, because I'm pretty sure.
This is a really underrated
yes.
song, I think.
In the
yes,
Night.
Yes, it is. This is what I thought it was. I love this one. This is one of my favorite ones on the album.
In the Night.
I'm pretty sure it got radio play.
It was a big song.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is really solid.
This also gives me MJ vibes, though. Like, if I were to have another one on the album that gives me Michael Jackson vibes, this gives me Michael Jackson vibes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In the Night is...
Sounds like it was born
sounds
out of
like
the
something
late 80s mixed with modern...
I feel like he worked this one and Can't Feel My Face was made at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, In the Night is such a great song. I forgot about it. Only reason I thought about In the Night was because of... whatchamacallit? What album? What song was that? Oh, the song he has with what's their faces? Two people with the mask. The last one we recovered last week.
Daft Punk?
Yeah. Yes. I Feel It Coming.
Oh yeah.
I was
oh,
yeah.
He had that and which I think is the good one with them, and then he had Starboy was also with them, wasn't it?
But I felt this song I felt was like I was trying to think of that and then I was listening and I remember In the Night and I'm like, shit, this is a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love this song. It is upbeat. It's very upbeat song. This is like to me the first super upbeat.
His voice, I feel like, is showcased very well in this song.
Yeah, this is like I said, his voice is very similar to Michael Jackson's.
Mm-hmm.
So
but yeah, this one gave me strong MJ vibes too.
Yeah, I love this one. I really do love this song. I think this might be my second favorite on the album. Another Belly writing credit.
Damn.
I don't know.
I didn't realize they collaborated.
Well, they're on. He's on his label.
Label.
This is a long album.
It is.
And yeah, we're like an hour into this episode, and we're halfway through.
Yeah, I mean these last few songs to me, they're not bad, but they're like
they're
not
very vibey. Favorite. Like yeah. I feel like it's a mood.
Yeah.
More than
once
anything.
You get past,
I, unpopular opinion, as you are. I love that song a lot. If we're talking about the last couple of ones, I feel like As You Are is one of my faves.
That's crazy.
I feel like As You Are, lyrically, is just what The Weeknd really wants from love because he writes all these songs about sex and how he doesn't feel anything, but As You Are is very like, hey, there's a lot of shit about me that you'd have to accept, and so I'm going to do that for you, and you can do that for me. And then to the backing of just like, it's very heavy on his voice and not production. And so it shows off his voice. And it's like lyrically about something that makes it seem like he has a hope. I don't know. But I think As You Are is really like it's just like his voice is just fucking beautiful, and also it's not quite as sad lyrically as the other stuff.
His voice is...
It's a slow one.
His voice is fucking enchanting.
Mm-hmm. It is. Like that, I listened to, because I pulled up this album on the way here, and I didn't have to listen to it much before because like I know all these like so well from how much I used to listen to it. But I was like, I want to listen to one like to get me in the mood to talk about this episode. And I just like ended up clicking on that one because for some of this, I just like, voice, I love like listening to his voice in that one and like singing along and stuff. And yeah,
his voice
is an instrument.
Really enchanting.
Enchanting.
That's what I can say about
enchanting.
The rest of the whole album, I think, is very, very centered on his voice. Like, it's his voice carrying more. Like, the rest of them, there was, like, very...
Dark times. We gotta give a shout-out to the Ed Sheeran feature.
Yeah, Ed Wood.
And then Prisoner, we gotta give a shout-out to the Lana Del Rey feature.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
Which is wild to get a feature from them like this early. It wasn't early, but it was just like...
Do you know who I really shipped even though it never happened and they're just friends? The Weeknd and Lana Del Rey.
Really?
If you listen to The Weeknd's music and what it's about and then you listen to Lana Del Rey's music and what it's about, I feel like they would have been a super hot couple, just saying. I feel like they make really good music together and they'd be cute. And I shipped that. Didn't happen, but hey... And then, like, not too long ago, they put out Lust for Life together, and I was like, they're back at it again. I ship.
They might take,
they're not gonna, but...
No.
But they make some quality tunes together.
She's too busy making bangers.
And her voice is also very original.
I fucking love Paramore.
And so she sounds fucking nothing like Paramore.
I know. I'm sorry.
Man, I cannot make allowances for you with that statement. Hayley Williams sounds nothing like Lana Del Rey.
All white women are the same to me.
Oh my God.
Yikes.
No. You made it worse. You said something bad that wasn't even that bad. It was just incorrect.
White female listeners, you are all not the same.
It's all white men that aren't the same. Sorry. Like, yeah.
Yeah, fuck white men. We can all agree on that.
Hayley Williams. Not fuck anybody.
No, we love
everyone. We're about acceptance and inclusion on this music podcast, Amir Bankston.
This is inclusion.
We're of these features show. Here at the end of the album.
That is wild. I don't think Ed Sheeran was like, was he gigantic around this time?
It's funny hear Ed Sheeran on a song like Dark Since Times. Because like Dark Times.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny to hear Ed on that song because Dark Times is like, hey, this is not the right time to love me because I'm out here killing and taking drugs and I'm about to die. These are hard times. And then fucking Ed Sheeran comes in and then you just think about Ed Sheeran's discography and how he is not this dangerous. No, and then Weeknd singing about being fucking
cut,
dangerous
mate.
And how his mom knows he's going to die and stuff. And then there's just Ed Sheeran.
You want to leave me, mate?
I mean, it definitely didn't ruin the song for me at all. Like, I really like Dark Times.
It's
but if
weird,
you
though.
But if you think hard enough about the content and it being Ed Sheeran, it's not something I would expect.
We can break up, mate. All right?
Oh, my God.
Or I can kill you.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I just picture when I hear Ed Sheeran singing like dark stuff like this, I just picture him with a shank, you know? But like he's a nice killer, like he's a or he's like a nice guy. He breaks up with you nicely. Like it's not you, mate, it's me, you know? You did nothing wrong. I
Angel
did.
Of death only he's kills to put people girl. Out of their misery.
Yes.
For a long time. Yes. I think they're like married.
Yes.
Yep.
They're
well,
married.
He
they
married-
have cats and stuff.
I love Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
As a person and as an artist. But because he's just done so many nice things. I'll talk about Ed another time. But yeah, that leaves into the last
Angel.
The last, or not the last track. Oh, no, it is.
And Spotify.
I mean, I
think he had a few underlocks, but.
No, it's the last one.
This was good. That was a good round route.
Yeah, it's a good. He closed this one really well.
Yeah.
That's why I guess I would consider this one a classic.
I feel like he got more personally emotional throughout the album.
Yes.
I feel like it started not and ended very much so.
Mm-hmm. It started off, I felt like he was just, it was like an
like,
intro.
Looked like real
mind.
Life and Losers. Like it was like stuff about his life, but not the super deep stuff. And then at the end, we got stuff like These Are Dark Times for Me. And Angel is like a lost love song. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make good points.
Yeah, this is a beautiful
it's
album.
It's a quality
album. That's what I can
album.
Say in the
a
beauty
beautiful,
behind madness.
A beauty, appropriate title.
Yeah. Yes.
I would say so.
yes. for that man.
You just toot?
No. That's why I hope one day he puts out another album. And so you can hope for it. I hope he's happy. I would love to hear a happy album. All the way happy album for the weekend.
Well, Starboy's no, that's not going to happen. All the way happy yeah. would be too far from his brand.
Well, okay, Starboy was a, I'm still that shit, but I'm not sad.
But I'm kind of the happy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean like something like just him being positive. I'm interested to hear.
Good luck, man. Old habits die.
But he got beef now, so you know. There's that OVO XO beef, so maybe we'll get that.
Is that actually beef?
They're not cool anymore. I think it was something about they both.
I bet it was unnecessary, whatever it was.
It was like they both I think either the Weeknd smashed the girl that Drake used to be with.
Unnecessary beef.
And then that's why they fell out. It's over a girl, like every Drake beef is.
I mean, yeah.
Literally, yeah. Every Drake beef is over a woman.
Doesn't make much sense to me because I feel like The Weeknd is super obsessed with Bella right now. But okay. Anyway.
Every beef is over a woman when it comes to Drake. So,
yeah. Stupid. Mm-hmm. Women.
He'll let you know in those songs all that start with times and dates. Places and times. Is that what you said?
No.
If a Drake song starts with a place fire. And a time.
Yep. If there's a place and there's a time, it's going to be lit.
For the title.
If he's at 6 p.m. and he's at New York, whoa.
He'll show you. He'll throw you the shade in those songs.
4 p.m. 4 p.m. in Calabasas? Whoa. What is he talking about?
You know? It was 8 p.m. in Calabasas.
No, 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
Yeah, that's a Diddy diss, man.
Maybe. What if it was 4:01 p.m.?
I love you. I've loved you since like my junior year of high school.
He's a liar.
Your voice is beautiful.
Drake? He lies. Yeah.
I'm sorry you're sad, and I hope that you learn that sex addiction can be just as bad as drug addiction, but keep making those fire tunes.
I can't wait till you meet him one day. You tell him this.
Man, I wish. I wish.
Okay. When it happens, don't be shocked.
Those were mine. I gave a speech to the weekend.
When Hannah meets him one day and she's able to tell him, we're going to record it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be dope.
And he'll be like, wow, I never thought about it that way, eh?
And be like,
stop with that.
You want to come to this Toronto thing, eh?
Oh my God. Okay. And with that.
What if he pulled that out of his back pocket?
A, he pulls A out.
He's Ethiopian, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And maybe he has, well, he speaks, I forget the language, but it's the native language of Ethiopia.
Amir's still dying over here, blowing his nose.
He is. Well, I feel bad. Dude.
I'm not past it.
Slowly, but
neither is The Weeknd. He's never past it. He's caught up in it. And tune into our B-side, right, Grant?
Yeah, we have a B-side coming up. I think this rounds out the A-side. B-side's going to be kind of about the legacy of The Weeknd and, you know, how he became this pop star out of all things. Weird. Way it happened, but
from who he was during Kisslandish era to who he is now,
yeah, and what he's said about like the pop landscape. But here he is being a pop star and shit. But regardless, we're gonna get into it.
Here's two my fave album by him.
In the meantime, if you want to follow us on our Twitter at groupies_pod, Jesus, let's talk too fast. If you want to follow And More Podcast as a whole, we can be found at And More Media Co., wherever you want to find us on social media. And all of our podcasts are wherever you can listen, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of those good tunes. And if you want to rate and review us, feel free to do that. I think Apple Podcasts is the only one that you can really do that on, but we'd appreciate it. Helps us get visibility. And
help us out.
With that being said,
thanks for listening.
See you on the B-side.
See you on the B-side.